This morning, as we take a look at Exodus 17, we see that Moses had been called to lead the people. The Israelites were captive in Egypt, and so we know that the Lord wanted him to lead them out of Egypt. So as we stop and we think about these Israelites, I believe, Brian could probably correct me here, but I believe it said somewhere right in there that there was around 400,000 men, I believe, is what it was. So that didn't count the women and children. So there was a lot of them, wasn't it? A whole lot of them. And so as they begin to be led out of Egypt, we're looking for Jesus in this Old Testament. That's where we're been the last couple of Sundays, is we've been looking for Jesus as we look at the Old Testament and lead ourselves up to the cross. And so the first Sunday, before we get into the Israelite people, the first Sunday we know that God destroyed the earth by a flood and he saved Noah. A little thread is all it was, folks, that saved us. And Jesus come through that thread. Isn't that awesome? How it could have been just wiped out, everybody would have been done. But through Noah, then we see Jesus. Last week, Brian was talking about the ram being caught in the thicket. We know that Abraham was given Isaac, and through Isaac, there was supposed to be as many people as it is the sand on the sea. Well, here we are seeing Isaac going to be the sacrifice. And Abraham's faith was so, so great that God provided a substitute. He provided a ram caught in the thicket right there by Isaac when he got there. Isn't that awesome? We see Jesus because God was showing us that I will provide a substitute for your sin. And even as early as Abraham and Isaac. What a wonderful picture of Christ that was last Sunday. I loved that image and that sermon that Brian had put together. I loved it. So this Sunday we're looking at the Israelites in Egypt. And so you would think that, I know we don't think this away today because we're so thankful and we're just filled with gratitude, aren't we? Everybody gets up in the morning just praising the Lord. Instead of saying, this time changed and I woke up at 3 o'clock the new time, 2 o'clock our time, and I had really not slept anymore. Brian said he'd been up all night picking up and doing things, and it's just been a crazy time. So it's kind of sometimes hard to find gratitude in amongst the things that's going on in our life, folks. And this is the way that the Israelites were. They were slaves in Egypt. But you know what? They were slaves in Egypt, but their pots were full of food. They were full of the things that they needed, water and food and many things that they needed. And so, do you see America in there somewhere today? We're full of food, folks. We have food out everywhere there is. There's food out there for everybody. And even the ones that don't have food, if they only know where to go and to ask, they can get food. And so, we see that we as a people were very well kept. But we also see that we as a people are a slave to this world. We come to worship the things that are given to us. We worship the big meals. We worship the things that we can get our hands on, instant gratification. And so this is what the Israelite people were doing. When they were led out, they got to the sea, and we know that what did God tell Moses? Take the staff and point it at the water, and the sea will open up. You cross, you get over there, you raise your hands, the sea will close behind, and it will drown all the Egyptian people. And we know this is what happened, folks. Now, you stop and think about this just for a minute. We're just thinking about it as we get to this point to where we're at this morning. You stop and think about it. If you had been a slave to someone in Stewart County and you got to the river down there and there's no bridge, there's no nothing, no way to go across, and you're really can't swim a couple of miles across it, so you're saying, you know, what am I going to do? And God opens that water up and you get to cross. And then he closes it on the ones that's been holding you captive. Wouldn't you believe that if God can do that, he's going to do everything he can to take care of you? Wouldn't you think that? I would like to think that that would be my faith in the one that had provided for me a crossing and taken care of my enemy, that I would be giving him glory and praise day after day, and knowing it might be a little tough right now. It might not be exactly where I want to be. I might not be able to come over into Henry County and have a pocket full of money right the first day I get here, or have the job I want, or have the things that I might need. But he has provided for us. And through us being provided for, why in the world wouldn't we give him all the praise and the glory? But we don't. Because in about 2 days, we're hungry. In about 2 days, we're not getting the food that we had in Stewart County. And so we're in Henry County and we're saying, you know, why'd you bring me over here, Lord? There's nothing over here for me. And we'd be fussing and griping and all the things that we do. You think we would? I think we would. Because that's just the way we are. And that's the way the Israelites, the people were. And so they brought Moses and they said, what is the deal, Moses? Here we are, and you're just going to let us starve. You're going to let us, there's no water, there's nothing. And so the first water that they come to after traveling through the desert, the first water they come to was so bitter that you couldn't drink it. And they were complaining against Moses that there was no water. The water here is so bitter, Moses. We can't enjoy this water. And what did God do? He told Moses, he said, pick up that stick and throw it in the water and it will become drinkable. And he did, and it was drinkable. Isn't that awesome that God thought enough of his people to take care of them? But they complained. And then they didn't have nothing to eat. And God sent quail and manna. Isn't that wonderful that he would provide for them? But then they complained about that as well. And then we see that in Exodus 17, we see that they have come to the community of Israel, Exodus 17, 1 through 7. And it tells us, at the Lord's command, the whole community of Israel left the wilderness of Sin and moved from place to place. Eventually, they camped at Rephidim, but there was no water. There was no water there for the people to drink. So once more, the people complained against Moses. Give us water to drink, they demanded. Quiet, Moses replied. Why are you complaining against me? And why are you testing the Lord? But tormented by thirst, they continued to argue with Moses. Why did you bring us out of Egypt? Are you trying to kill us, our children, and our livestock with thirst? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, what should I do with these people? They are ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, walk out in front of the people. Take your staff, the one you used when you struck the water of the Nile, and call some of the elders of Israel to join you. And I will stand before you on the rock at Mount Sinai. Strike the rock, and the water will come gushing out. Then the people will be able to drink. So Moses struck the rock, as he was told, and water gushed out as the elders looked on. Moses named the place Massah, which means test, and Meribah, which means arguing, because the people of Israel argued with Moses and tested the Lord by saying, is the Lord here with us or not? This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You see, folks, as we see that as they got to a place where they thought, we're going to die for sure because there's no water here. There's nothing for us to keep us alive. They were worried totally, 100%, just about staying alive, keeping their cattle alive, keeping their kids alive. That was what was on their minds more than anything in the world. And where do we see Jesus in this? This is what I want you to be thinking about. Because we see that as they camped and there was no water, there was nothing to drink, and the people are complaining, and we see that Moses is telling them, hey, y'all just need to get quiet. Something's going to happen. God is going to provide for you. He's provided for you all this time. He's not going to quit today. But they complained. They complained about everything. And folks, today in America, that's what I see. I see us complaining about everything. It doesn't matter what's going on. It's good. But it's not good. It's not good. This morning, after we was getting ready, drinking some coffee, getting ready to come to church, and my phone went off, and Tammy said, what's that? I said, that's an alert for Michigan, Upper Michigan, weather advisory. She said, what in the world are you doing with an Upper Michigan weather advisory? I mean, you know. I said, I tell you what it does. It reminds me so much of those days that I had to be in Upper Michigan. I was in Upper Michigan a lot, and the weather was terrible. And when I was up there, I would say to the Lord, Lord, why have I got to be up here? I don't want to be up here. I want to be home. I want to be somewhere where the weather's good. I want to be where I can enjoy my family. I complained. I complained 100% of the time about the job that I had. And I told Brandon this morning I'd go sometimes weeks and not see the house except on Sunday in the daylight. You know. And I would complain because I didn't get to see home in the daylight, summer or winter. I didn't get to be home. And I complained. And this morning, as that alarm went off for the weather being bad up there in northern Michigan, as that alarm went off, I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm not up there. You see, it didn't happen at the time I wanted it to happen. It didn't happen that day. It didn't happen that month, that year. But today, it has happened. And I'm so thankful, even though it's years down the road, I'm so thankful that I'm not up there this morning. I'm just 100% thankful. And I tried to tell the Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you have given to me. And even though it seems like something so little, folks, maybe to y'all, but this is what it was with the Israelites. It was things that were so little. You knew they should have known by now that God is going to provide water for them. He's not going to let them starve. And so he tells Moses to take the rod that parted the sea, and go down and strike the rock, and the water will come out. He took the staff, he went down, and he struck the rock. And the water poured out of the rock, and it fed them, and it fed their cattle, and it fed everything. What did we just read in the pouring of the water? We read about Jesus at the well, at Jacob's well. And the Samaritan lady came at noon because she didn't want to be talked about. She didn't want to be looked at in a bad way from all the women that came early of the morning. And so she came at noon. And Jesus said, ma'am, if you only knew who you were speaking to, you wouldn't have to worry about the water in this well coming and getting a drink. If you only knew the gift that God had for you, if you only knew you could have everlasting living water, everlasting life. Salvation, folks. salvation that Jesus was offering the lady at the well for the pouring of the water is the same salvation, same living water that came out of that rock. Jesus. You say, well, Mike, I don't know. That might not have been Jesus that came out of that rock. Well, let's just look over at 1 Corinthians just for a moment. 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, let's see what Paul says about that rock. First Corinthians 10. And my Bible won't stay open. It says, starting with the first verse, I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. What's he talking about? Same place where we're at. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them, and all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. And in the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. All of them ate the same spiritual food, and all of them drank the same spiritual water, for they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. You see that rock, folks? That's the rock of Christ. That rock that provided for these Israelite people is the rock today that we know as Christ Jesus. It's the rock that provides this life for us after we have passed from this life. And it's like I said earlier, when we're in the business that Brian's in picking up bodies, and it's not fun, folks. It's not fun at all. It's a very trying job on your mind and on your body physically. But in the midst of all of that, we see life. As sorrowful as it is for the families, as hard as it is on the families, the things that we see the families going through, in the midst of all of that is life. Because of why? Because Jesus Christ, the living water, Jesus died upon this cross that we're coming to. He died upon the cross that we could have eternal life. Folks, it's the most amazing thing in the world that God had put this all into play. And he is knowing that this is the way that things could be. But the Israelites wouldn't believe. The Israelites would not heed to what he was telling them, what he was trying to show them. And folks, today America does not heed to what is being told to them that you can have. This is what you can have, as Jesus said to the lady. The gift that you is, it's here for you if you would only take it. But they don't want to hear it. And so we hear and we see people every day that is living a life for their own self, living a life for their own wealthy, whatever they can get in wealth, living a life for power. They're living a life for to show someone else how smart they are and how many degrees they can get. And they're living a life all about themselves. And folks, it doesn't matter. Because knowledge is wonderful. I'm thankful for everybody that's smart because they keep us going, that's for sure. But knowledge without the love of God, knowledge of our money or anything without the love of God is nothing, absolutely nothing. Folks, we saw Friday, I guess it was, the collapse of the biggest collapse in banking that's ever happened in the United States. And if you hadn't watched that or read about that, you probably need to, because this is more to it than what it looks like. It only appears right now that there's no repercussion from it, but there will be. But folks, what it is for us is the fact that no matter how much money that was in this bank or how much money these people lose, it's sad. It'll be businesses that cannot open in the morning because of what that bank done on Friday. There'll be people out of work. There'll be people that do not know how to cope with the loss of $1 million or something of that nature. But no matter how sad this is, and no matter what it is to these people or to me or to you in this world, if they know God, if they have Jesus in their heart and they know God and they have this relationship with the Lord like he was trying to get the Israelites to have with him, then things will be fine. God will take care of them. And folks, it didn't stop right there. They went on. If you look in Numbers, I think Brian will be in Numbers 21 next week. But if you look in Numbers 20, you just look in Numbers 20, you're going to see the same thing happen again. The same thing, except what happened that time? Moses had gotten mad. He done got ill with all these people that wouldn't listen to what he was trying to tell them. And he told them what he thought. And that wasn't what God told him to do. God told him just to strike the rock, Moses. Speak to the rock, Moses, and there will be water. But Moses went up and he told them all what he thought about every one of them. He told them all what was in his heart. Because when you get mad, you really talk. When you're mad, you really say what's in your heart. I truly believe that. And he told them all what he thought about them. And as he told them what he thought about them, God told Moses in Numbers 20. He didn't just leave Moses and not come back to him. But he punished Moses. And he said, Moses, you will not go into the promised land that I've promised. And we know that him and Aaron did not get to go. So folks, there's a consequence to everything. It's a consequence if we don't know Jesus Christ. If we're here on this earth and we are living a life for ourselves and we're not interested in anybody else, we're not interested in anything going on, we're just interested in what we got and how we're going to manage it and how we're going to take care of ourselves, and we see a whole lot of self, don't we, in the world that we live in? I do. I see a whole lot of it. And I used to be right there, folks, because I depended on no one except myself. Myself. I was one that was going to do this. I'm going to do that. And it didn't work. It did not work at all. And in doing that, Tammy could tell you, in doing that, she had to live through all of this because it didn't work. And it just absolutely, when you leave God out of your life and you leave God out of the things that's going on in you and with your family, it's not going to work, man. Folks, it will work for a little while. And you'll think you're doing good, but then the bottom will fall out of it. It will not continue to work. And so this is what we're seeing with the Israelite people. A lot of their bodies, what did it say, were left in the wilderness, scattered in the wilderness. And this is kind of where we're going to be bringing up next Sunday with Brian. They were scattered in the wilderness because they had no concern for God. They had no love for God. They only had love for themselves. Sad, sad story on one hand. Beautiful story on the other hand, because of the water, the rock of salvation, the rock of Jesus he offered to them. There was some of them that understood it. There was some of them that caught it pretty quick. And some of them that knew that this was their only hope. No matter what it might look like here on this earth, it's through that rock of salvation, that living water, just as Jesus was telling the lady at the well, that living water that we're offered back life with the Father and with the Son. Doesn't that make you happy, folks? Isn't that something that we ought to be celebrating? Isn't that something that we ought to be excited about? But instead, we just sat there and look kind of lost, deer in the headlight look. And, you know, we don't do anything about it. And even if we have a wonderful relationship with Jesus Christ, how many of us show that gratitude to others? How many of us are singing praises to God every day? Me and Brandon's talking about it a while ago, and we were saying, if we don't get up of a morning and we don't focus on the good stuff, then sometimes we lose our focus. You got to get up and focus on everything good. And if whatever it is that reminds you of the good that God is doing for you, whether it is setting an alarm on your phone to remind you when it's snowing a foot in Upper Michigan and you're not there, give praise to the Lord. I'm not there this morning. And I hate it for them people that's having to deal with all that, because I know how it is. But I'm happy that I'm not the one dealing with it. And that's what I had to ask God at some point. Lord, I need to be one of them people that's not having to deal with this every day. And so today I can give him praise, but I can give him more praise. More praise today for his son Jesus, for that rock of salvation. I can give him more praise. And folks, I hope that you can as well. I hope that you know and understand your Lord and Savior. I hope your desire is to grow in your relationship with him. It's a kind of a weird thing, folks, when we're into the in the world that we live in. We see all kinds of people. Some people talk about their relationship with the Lord and how good it is, and yet they grumble and they gripe all the time about something. And some people that don't have anything are the happiest in the world. It is so amazing to sit and watch. And I see lots of different people all through the week. But they'll be quick to tell you about their relationship with the Lord, but they'll also be quick to grumble and gripe about everything the Lord ain't done for them. And that's where we're at with the Israelites. Think about it as we go back into the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.